comfortable and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Mick and Sylvie Avery.
Sylvie Avery, and welcome to the Spirits Work Show.
My husband Mick and I are spirit mediums, and on this show we bring you insights into the reality of your world.
And for the next hour we'll be bridging the gap between the physical world and the afterlife. An evolved spirit who last walked the earth in 1723 will be communicating with us through Mick's incredible gift of deep trance channeling. As usual, on the show, spirit guide Gregory Hay will borrow Mick's body to bring us information that will expand your knowledge about life on Earth, the universe and other dimensions, and of course, the spirit world. And this week we're going to be speaking about animal healing.
Hi, I'm Mick Avery. As well as spirits work here on bloggingservice.com and bbsradio.com, every Monday at 12 o'clock midnight and now every Thursday at 5 p.m. EST, we also have another show called Spirit Teaching on Tuesday night at 11 p.m. EST. And if you would like to know more about us, our books and our work, we suggest you go to our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. As Sylvie said, I am a deep trance medium, which means that I am a pure channel for the spirit world, enabling clear, concise communication from those who continue to walk with us and who try to look after us. Each week on our show, Sylvie has a conversation with our spirit friends so that they can give us the benefit of their wisdom, and as a result, we can get a different perspective on life, which means having choices and options we never realized were available to us. When I go into the trance state, I will not know of anything that happens until they bring me back. And that is how it should be, because we wouldn't want anything of the thoughts and feelings from my mind to get in the way of the contact.
So you're going to go off now,
then? I'm going to go off now, then.
Okay. So, thank you for that, Mick.
Thank you. You're welcome.
So, Gregory is a spokesperson for a group of spirits of higher intelligence called the White Cloud Group, and they consist of eminent scientific minds of all description, along with ordinary people. They've come to help us to understand the nature of our existence and hopefully to point us in a more positive direction. They're an educational group responding to a need by those of us who are searching for answers but didn't know who to ask. They're also responding to a need from our planet because it is essential that we change our behaviour towards it. They bring us information that helps us to look at our world with a different perspective, as well as anything and everything beyond our world, and trying to help us to look at the bigger picture of life. So, if you've just joined us, you're about to hear spirit guide Gregory Hay being channeled by deep trance medium Mick Avery. And if you'd like to know more about us, just go to our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. So, I do believe Gregory's here now.
Hello, dear friend.
Hello, Gregory.
Once again, then, it is with the utmost love that we are here. Thank you so much, little bird, for inviting us at this time to do this program for you.
Oh, we're very excited about it. Thank you for coming. And today, I believe that you're going to talk to us about animal healing. We're going to be discussing that. So,
to begin with, then, dear friends, we must look upon our own perspective of how we as human beings, on the one hand, may help and assist animals who are in distress. This would, of course, be animals immediately known to us in the first instance, our pets, to do with all forms of animal life that come into your, as it were, possession, that you have to look after and husband in order to bring their life to the fullest care for your own enjoyment and also, of course, for theirs. In trying to understand where this healing energy comes from, where the possibilities may lie, first of all, we must look upon and observe communities in the animal kingdom, in the natural world. They themselves bring about healing upon one another at times of distress. You may observe, for example, an elephant who has just given birth, and that what happens is that not only are there nurturing instincts involved in the birthing process and the hours after the birth, but also that it isn't just a symbolic joining, it is an actual bonding of sensitivity and awareness. The mother will actually comfort and protect the young that she has just given birth to, and that this will in fact be very sensitive. It will be a highly emotionally charged moment for all of them. It is, in fact, at the heart of establishing the relationship between the mother and child, but it is also there to give reassurance, to placate the infant so that it knows that it is loved, that it will continue to stay by the mother's side in order that it may learn to control itself and learn the very many wide varieties of destiny ahead of it. It will have an essence of love coupled with these energies that will be brought to it. These energies are very necessary for the elephant's well-being, as it is widely known by many that if, in fact, an infant elephant is left abandoned by its mother for some reason, perhaps its mother has been shot or whatever, been involved in some other altercation that has made it run off, you will see that the infant elephant will mourn, will actually, in fact, become extremely distressed, even though it is merely hours old. It ultimately knows of relationship not just through instinct, but through the actual bond that set its relationship with its mother from the beginning. And this is a bond of healing. The mother's vibration brings this form of healing and well-being to the infant. Similarly, you would see this in human relationships. Do not forget that this is not just something that is instinctive for animals to treat their infants in this way so that they adopt a principle of close relationship so they are able to pass on their knowledge and instincts as well as their environmental controlled understanding, that is, the way that they have been brought up, to understand their behavior that either comes in conflict with their environment or in harmony with their environment. All of these relationships, my dear friends, bring a sense of healing from the parent to the infant. It may well be that, for example, in the mourning process where an infant mourns the mother, that it actually stays there for many days in the same area, poring over it, trying to bring its energy, not just, as I say, through instinct, but through the very essential care that is within it. It isn't just that it needs food. It is there trying to bring alive that energy of care, of dual responsibility, if you like, from one animal to another. So is it to say, then, that other animals will necessarily give healing to other species? In the wild, you can see that this would probably very rarely happen, as many animals tend to take advantage of one another's plight. This isn't disharmonic. It just really means that either they actively take advantage of it because the other animal is a food source, or they merely ignore it and go about their own business, their own tasks, their own struggle for survival. It isn't really then that animals are careless, but that the very worrying fact of their own survival, the very nature, perhaps, of their sensitivity, is driven by their own in-concert feelings with their young, with their environment, and with how they themselves must conduct their lives. How then could you, as a human being, if your pet is suffering from some illness, give healing to an animal? It may well be that your pet has been already pre-diagnosed with some effect, some illness that has brought about its decline. Now, you may want to feel that you can give it healing, and of course, as a human being, you can. What you would do is quite simply that you would set the pet upon a cloth or upon a seat, a soft cushioned seat, depending, of course, on what it is. if it's a horse, naturally you can't do this. But if it's a dog or a cat or a mouse or some other thing, you can be tender with it. You can be caring toward it. Sometimes, of course, it may be, regardless of what you do, that regardless of your efforts of care, that they are insufficient to allow the animal to continue to survive. It may well be, however, that much of your concern is overreactive, and it may be better that you channel your energies into becoming still within yourself, within the presence of the animal, perhaps holding the animal in your hands if it's a mouse or a rat or something like that, or stroking it upon the head and connecting with your spirit guides and helpers. You are then able to bring about a healing sensitivity and harmonic to the animal itself. You would connect with your spirit guides, as I say, asking them for help in this situation, placing your hands first upon the head in order to relax the animal, not just through stroking it or whispering to it as you would in your normal state of consciousness, but actually allowing the energy of the spirit world to come through you into your hands and into the animal itself. This will have the effect that it actually calm the animal, not into a submission, but just calm it and make it feel relaxed. Therefore, once you have a relaxed animal, you will be able to work on it more diligently. You will be able to bring about healing perhaps to specific areas or investigate with your guides those areas that may be harmed. Healing is not necessarily a hands-on experience, but first of all, we will describe this experience. You would then gradually run your hands, first of all along from the head, along the spine of the animal, picking up any sensitive interactions that you have once you have connected to your guides. Or once you have just connected to the spirit energy of the universe, you do not have to actually know your guides, you understand. It may just be that this will be a helpful connection for you in order to discover certain situations that may emerge within the healing process. What you would then do is that you would run your hands, once you had finished along the spine, run your hands individually down all four limbs, if it's a dog or a cat, down its wings, if it's a budgerigar or some other bird, and down its other legs as well, if that is the case. You would, in the case of a bird, run your hand also across its tail. This is so that you are able to connect with every single element of the animal you are trying to heal, that you are wishing to bring your harmonic healing ability to. When you are doing this, you may be mindful that you are, as it were, a little vague, or that you are perhaps vacant of your own thoughts. And this is a good thing, because you are actually connecting to the animal you are trying to bring healing to. Gradually, you may feel sensitivities through these different areas, changes in temperature, changes in where you find a particular hot spot or a cool place as your hand passes over it. You may then feel a tingling sensation in the palm of your hand, or perhaps to one or more of the pads of your fingers, to the inside of your hand. It may be that this sensitivity brings through the harmonic of your own self-state, and that inspiration, connection, and yielding of the relationship between yourself and your spirit means that you will in fact feel sensitively connected to those places that are giving the animal pain or that are creating a problem for the animal in the first place. Now, I say this creating a problem, it may well be that this is only a possible scenario. It may be, of course, that you may wish to do this before you have taken it to a vet, or before you have actually discovered that there is some other untoward disadvantage the animal is going through. Perhaps it has just gone off its food, and you are trying to find out, trying to discover what it is that has brought this about. Naturally, this is not something that should be tried in first instance as your first attempt at healing. It would really be wise, and we recommend that all beings who have a relationship with an animal in some way, be it a pet or whatever, that what they do is connect with the animal in a spiritual level. And that is because by doing this, your relationship will be far more refined, far more harmonic. There will be a greater bond between you as a human being and the animal itself. So your relationship of species intercommunication will be established through this harmonic.
And it complements conventional medicine, doesn't
it? Well, of course.
Yes. And it's not faith healing. You don't have to have faith.
Indeed, you do not have to have any form of faith at all. What we are talking of here is about your connection with your upper house, if you like, your connection with your inspiration, if that is what you wish to call it. You may call it a number of different things. We prefer you to call it your spirit, because that is in fact what you are connecting with. You are connecting with the essential element that is you, your core identity, if you like, which is the spirit within you. That is an ether part of your connection to the universal life force of all things. Basically, your spirit always remains within the ether world. It never comes fully into the physical form of life. You are, as whoever you are, an embodiment of physical life who happens to have a spirit relationship with yourself in the ether world. It is as though you actually walk along life and you have one foot in the physical side of life, which is much to do about your own physical reality, and then you have your other foot, which is in the spirit world. This is to do with your dream sense, to do with your intuitive nature, to do with your spiritual upper house relationship with your consciousness, your creativity, and how this itself becomes evident in the physical state.
So that is why that really anybody who has an empathy and a mind emotion within them that would like to do this for their animals could do it.
Absolutely so. We are not saying that you have to already have discovered a special gift. What
No.
we are saying is that this is a connection everyone on your side of life may make with their animals, with their pets, their alternate loved ones, if you like, even surrogate children, as some human beings regard them.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And this is not something that we are laughing at or poking fun at, you understand?
No.
This is something that is absolutely serious. And we are regarding this situation with all due respect, because it is through your love vibration that raises the vibration of the bonding relationship between you and your animal friend or your animal partner. It may well be then that through these raised consciousness levels of bringing about a greater relationship with your animal friend, it means that the bond is ever stronger. So in this way, you may connect and identify much more closely with how you may help your animal friend. You may bring about healing. How does this actually work then, to bring about healing for another being? It simply means that by asking those in the spirit world to help you in this way, that what you are able to do is to bring the energy of the spirit world, perhaps a spirit guide, perhaps a spirit helper. It may be someone in your ancestral family, it may be someone completely different. Not all relationships to do with yourselves and the spirit world are to do with ancestral heritage. They are actually, more predominantly, due to relationships with other beings you do not remember you had.
Previously, in the
spirit world, before your physical journey.
Mm.
Yes.
And so people, because I know a lot of people, we think, you know, well, it's okay for people that know their guides or can feel them or can sense them, but doesn't matter.
And that is what I was trying to point out, really, my dear friend. It really does not matter. It is not essential. You don't have to know who your guides are. You don't even have to know what that feeling would be like. All you need to do is to connect with your loved animal. That is all you need to do. In doing that, in bringing that connection to self, what you are doing is raising your vibration, your loving vibration of your inner self, your inner space. And what this itself brings about is the connection between you and those in the spirit world who may be looking on, who may be watching over you at this very moment.
I'd like to say thank you for those who may have just joined us on Spirit's Work. You're listening to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay, being channeled by Deep Trance Medium Mick Avery. I'm Sylvie Avery, and today we're talking about animal healing. Welcome to you. So people must do this unknowingly, mustn't they, with their pets, without realising they're doing it at other times?
Well, yes.
If their pets are sick and they...
Of course.
Yes.
Yes, and it brings about senses, overwhelming senses in many cases, of compassion, of as though, in fact, in some cases, bringing about a great surprise to the person involved that they never really knew that they had such great affection for their pet as when it actually needs their help.
Mm.
And this is a time when human beings may bring help to them, as we say. This isn't something you do in isolation. Obviously, if there is an ensuing problem, you would need to take your pet to the vet to have it looked at professionally through medical help. And we are not saying that you would isolate yourself from any of these procedures. What we are saying is that this isn't something that you can do in concert with them. So, in order that you perhaps have already, for example, taken your pet to a vet and you bring it home and it is struggling for survival in some way or another, and you do all that you can to nurture it through playing nurse to your loved pet, it may well be that through the instruction that you have been given by your veterinary surgeon that it will be that your pet makes a full recovery. What I'm saying is that very often there will be times when you will have to leave your pet alone and allow it to heal itself, which is something that animals are also able to do because they connect themselves with their spirit, which is something much easier for an animal to do than for a human being, simply because it doesn't have all of the negativity involved in its own life, whereas human beings have great swathes of negativity that they have to compromise with, that they have to overcome in their physical journey in order to take the path that they feel inclined to move upon.
Mm.
So it may well be that in certain situations that you have to leave the animal and allow it to be quiet and still within itself. I suppose it is a situation of knowing when these times are appropriate. So perhaps you should ask your vet at that time if that is something that you need to do. Alternatively, of course, you may connect with those, as I say, with your upper house of intuitive state consciousness. It may be that you are able to connect with this state and have a feeling of
or an intuitive understanding of what you need to take, what course you need to take in the event of bringing about a satisfactory conclusion and healing the animal.
Yes.
So you must at times allow the animal to self-heal for its own understanding, and at other times play an active role in helping it by bringing your loving relationship and that love vibration that is within you to help it.
What if you are unable to actually physically touch the animal for some reason? It might be aggressive. It might be actually not possible for you to get that close to it because it will run away or something like that.
Yes,
but it still it needs healing.
Yes, absolutely so. It may be, of course, that aggression comes up because it is suffering or because some other underlying cause is happening to dissolve its ordinary relationship between you and to actually become aggressively active against you in that it needs you to keep away. What you would do is quite simply, if that is the case, do not worry. You may connect once again with your higher self, with your upper house consciousness. Perhaps ask your guides to be close to you. Do not try to touch the animal, but merely let it be. Some people call this prayer. And it may be that you may wish to use prayer in this situation. Using prayer is not something that is necessarily religious. It is a way of connecting with those ancestral memories, with those of your genetic heritage that have already passed before you, those loved ones and friends, perhaps, who are around you at this time of need. It may be that you really need to use prayer in order to ask for healing for your pet in whatever way that happens. As I say, you do not need to register your feelings within a specific religion or other. Prayer is really just that you say words or express feelings, intone how you would wish things to be, either out loud or in your mind, in your thoughts, as a silent prayer. You may do this as well in order to ask for healing to be given. In fact, you may send healing yourself by some quite simple methods.
That would be really good for animals in the wild.
Well, yes,
that sort
quite
of thing.
So. Yes, absolutely so. So what you would do is that, first of all, imagine yourself in that particular place. If you wish to focus upon an animal, perhaps, that is in your possession, but that you cannot actually be in physical contact with at the time of healing, then it will be that you will focus your consciousness, your mind, upon the animal itself and upon your vision of it. You will bring your energy to that, raising your vibration because of the love that you have for the animal itself. In this first instance, we are talking of pets, of course. And then what you would do is you would raise your vibration to connect with the animal on the astral plane, in the ether world. Quite simply, what you would do is you would bring your attention through these loving thoughts, through a form of prayer. You would perhaps open, first of all, in an invocation or prayer to ask your guides and helpers for help, to perhaps ask your own inner spirit to blend with you to be able to create these greater healing energy possibilities
for those you love. Notwithstanding, of course, you are able to do this very same thing for sending healing to your friends or other loved ones you cannot actually physically be with at times when that you know they need healing themselves. So to continue then, what you would do after your invocation is that you would connect with your upper house, your spirit guides, with your own spirit, asking for the spirit world to help you in this energy, in gathering the energy first of all, and then sending it as a parcel of love, if you like, toward those or that being who needs your help. As I say, it matters not what species, it doesn't matter whether that species identifies with love or not. It doesn't matter whether you think this is something that is, how can I say it, that is estranged from your own personality. It is in fact something very real that you commit yourself into revealing from your own inner relationship with your spirit to those you best admire. You may send these energy forms of thought, these healing rays, collecting them and sending them to the being you wish to bring healing to. And this will just simply be a matter of a few minutes. It isn't something that is going to take you many hours or many minutes. Perhaps 10 or 15 would probably be quite suitable. 10 or 15 minutes for you to simply address these problems, address these healing issues that you can actually be a party to, that you may create yourself through the loving awareness of your own spirit identity, your own identity. As I say, it doesn't mean to say that you already have to have knowledge of your relationship between yourself, of your physical state, and your spirit. It may be the very first time that you need to do something like this. That maybe it has never crossed your mind before. Naturally, the spirit world will rise to every occasion. It may be that healing, however, is insufficient to aid the recovery of the animal, and it passes in any case. Now, if this be the case, then that is the way it was. It doesn't mean to say that you failed, my dear loves. It does not mean to say that you have not met with the challenge, have not elevated yourself high enough. It meant that it was its time. In any event, the healing that you sent it, that you send in any direction to any person, any species, whatever it is, whatever healing you send them will be something that will be returned to you because you are being giving in a selfless way. By doing this, you will have created well-being for them in the moments before they passed. You will have helped them to relax, to not be fearful of their passing, as so many are. In actual fact, it happens to be that in the animal kingdom, they are not as fearful of passing as you might think. They may feel pain, of course, like any other animal, like you would feel pain, but that is perhaps that they realize, because connection, their inner connection with their own intuitive state, their spirit, is actually so complete within an animal, in living in the natural state, or perhaps even a pet, that it will know when its time is coming and will simply let go. You giving them healing, even from a distance, will help that process resolve itself and enable the animal to become at peace.
Are there some animals that are more receptive to healing than others?
Well, I have to say, dear friend, that dogs and cats, of course, rats and mice as well, are most susceptible. Elephants, swans, dolphins naturally have a perfect affinity to their own inner qualities of healing, and we will discuss those in a moment. Human beings may connect to horses in a very vibrant way. There are many situations where human beings may positively interact with horses' well-being. They respond magnificently to how human touch and sensitivity may be created around them. They really do respond so brightly simply because they are highly sensitive to their own inner spirit. They know themselves when you have made a connection before you know it yourself, before you are even aware of it yourself. One step.
Yes, that's interesting.
In that way, you see, although a horse is perhaps a rather large animal, you will in fact be able to bring beautiful effects of healing to a horse, no matter what its injuries are. You can, in fact, bring about some wonderfully positive results. Obviously, the more that you do something, the greater the effect will become. Do not think that just one session of it will be well to fit any purpose. It won't.
No.
It will be something that you would have to fit into your day, that you would have to bring about in a way to help it.
So, will animals be drawn more then to those people who do this through this act of giving from spirit to spirit, as it were?
Well, absolutely so, of course. It can only serve to increase the relationship between the person identified as being a healing agent or as being a healer to the animal itself. For example, you may notice that if you are used to healing animals, horses, shall we say, for example, that what will happen is that many other horses will actually respond to your presence in their aura. And what will happen is that they will have instinctive recognition because of their connection with their spirit and their spirit to your spirit, that you are in fact empathic with their own sensitivity. Therefore, they will automatically come to you and seek your help, or come to you and be reassured by your presence of sensitivity, that they are more relaxed in your environment because you're harmonic that you are portraying and bringing about toward them.
Sort of like picking up on your frequency.
Well, absolutely so, and of course naturally they can see your aura, which is something that perhaps people should take note of if they are angry around horses. Because if a person's anger comes to the surface around a horse, they feel it before you let it go. Or even before you produce it actively in a physical action. Understand?
Yes.
So that in fact they already are aware of your aggressive tendency. And that is why if you are aggressive, there is nothing you can do around a horse. All you will do is upset it. Antagonizing its relationship with you, because you will in fact put a large question mark over how you yourself feel you are responding to it and how it responds to you in return. It will remember that encounter. That is why you should always be most careful when you are around a horse that it does not react to your inflamed temperate is remember. Most distinctly, any active move you make toward it, to harm it.
They have obviously, or horses we were talking about, but obviously other animals as well, have obviously got more communication skills that we haven't taken into consideration.
Yes, my dear friend, and it isn't just the fact that they are picking up your pheromonic activity released by your anger, by the raising of your blood pressure, by the situations and simulations you produce as you let go of your more refined state. It is something that animals actually intrinsically pick up in their vibration. They can see your aura change through your anger. And therefore, they know long before that you are in a state of harm to them. Therefore, they will back away from you. You may, even through your anger, through the way that you are, or the way that you have even been in your past relationship with them, have great detrimental forces at work toward them. Simply because you are in their presence. It may be that, for example, you may cause a pregnancy to terminate just through your anger, through recognition of you being a person previously identified as bearing anger upon them.
So they perceive it as a danger?
Well, yes, quite so.
As a threat?
Yes.
You were going to mention about swans.
Yes, quite so. Well, of course, because of the fact that swans actually have a binding, loving relationship throughout their lives with one partner, they are completely monogamous. They will, in fact, bring about their relationship with one another and with those cygnets they bear, which will actually be created on quite a high level. Exactly the same, I suppose, as you may even find with certain forms of alligator or crocodile. Surprisingly, it may even be through some forms of snake. And this may be something that also happens, as I said before, between elephants or between antelope. It may be between many different other species to do with their relationships with one another or their relationships with their siblings. Naturally, there will come time within swans where the cygnets have grown to such an extent that the parents move them on. This isn't to say that the relationship has descended from what it was, but that instinct brings itself into play because one particular area can only support so many swans. And there becomes a target of that relationship whereby the swan actually isn't really aggressive towards it, its offspring, but actually brings this about purely for its own survival.
Yes, I can see.
It doesn't make the relationship between the pair any less.
No, we all have to get out and face the world. And
yes, quite so. Now, the other thing that I was going to speak of this day was to do with the way in which porpoises or dolphins actually have a clinical, not all psychological, effect on their healing ability upon human beings or even other animals. It will be that because of a dolphin's auric field and the energy that they bring about, because they are so giving in their natural environment to one another and to the beings, that they will also bring this giving ability of their vibration and their harmonic intent to human beings. And this is a form, I suppose, of how some people may connect with dolphins, porpoises, or whatever, to be able to bring about a healing sensitive instance in their lives.
Hmm.
Autistic children in particular will benefit from this form of healing simply because dolphins understand them far more than other people do. They are able to bring about healing toward them because they are so giving. Will be possibly healing in the form of making connections, helping these children to make connections with those systems within their brain, their actual physical brain, which have come dysfunctionate for whatever reason, at birth, or perhaps before birth.
Mm-hmm.
It may have been brought about by conditions of that birth. Some say this points to else minerals such as mercury or lead poisoning.
Mm.
I have to say that there are many different reasons for autistic situations to arise within children. Some of them may well be due to these deep influxes of harmful minerals which ordinarily should not be present in their lives. It may be to do with, perhaps, to do with some gases that may be present in the building in which they live. It may be due to other situations that have ensued within the pregnancy itself. You cannot underline one and say that this is the present cause of all forms of one specific disease. Not in the case of autism, because it is developed by many other different reasons. It may be as well that the spirit of the child is not fully enveloped within the physical state, that the tentative join has not been completed, in which case what you would do is strengthen the environment of the child in order to bring about a more solid resolution of that relationship between the spirit and the physical state.
Well, I know we're not actually going into this in great detail, but now you've got this far with it, and it's fascinating and very helpful for people. What do you mean by strengthening the environment?
Well, I am saying that for some who suffer from autism, it may well be that because they live in a particularly coloured house or in an environment which is not conducive to their spirit becoming more informed, more closely tied to their physical state, it may well be that changes need to be made. But particularly, actually, with colours within their environment, they need to be rewarmed with gentler, harmonic colours that infants experience whilst they are in the womb.
Right.
They would need, perhaps, to experience rooms that have more subtle corners, that are not so angularly sharp and angry toward them. That is how an autistic child may well see a place or a room that they have instead.
Soften the whole ambience of their living environment.
Yes, quite so. And you can really do this by softening the corners, by making them less obstructive to their vision. You may do this by adding beautiful colour. It doesn't have to be strong, vibrant colour. You understand, these can be restful colours. Restful colours and pastel colours are very good for autistic children. Running water sounds are an added bonus, of course.
Gentle light.
Yes.
Okay. And dolphins can see through people, and they can see these sort of, they can see where things are wrong in people, illnesses.
Yes, absolutely so. And they are so harmonic that they try to be with them, be very close to them, so that they can help them, so their energy can help them.
And they help other animals too?
They have been known to help other animals. animals that have fallen overboard on ships, dogs or mm-hmm. whatever, they have actually been known to help to rescue animals in tidal surges that have been washed out to sea.
Gosh.
They have been known to help to rescue whales, trying to guide them back again to a more safer place,
mm-hmm.
a safer environment.
Mm.
In fact, you would find that both porpoises and dolphins would mourn the passing of any whale.
Mm.
Because they are actually very closely tied.
Mm. So animals have a definite, I mean, there's a telepathic way of communication link there that we just can't conceive.
Yes, but of course this isn't just, this isn't to do with every single animal.
No, but there's also telepathic communication within the prayers that we're sending in healing, in distant healing.
Yes,
There's that involved as well, whatever we call it.
Yes, of course.
So
you are raising your vibration. You are sending your love. You are giving something selflessly to something else, regardless of what they may have done to you, or regardless of what it may be that has befallen them.
And I know you do say that thoughts are living things, so that would explain that.
Yes, they are living things.
Hmm.
Absolutely so. That is why you need to guard your thoughts. That is why you need to be careful how you measure your life.
And this continues on in the spirit world as well. Once our animals have passed, this connection can only be strengthened by this development in this healing bond that we create while we're here, whether
yes.
it's just love or whether we're purposefully doing it.
Absolutely so, my dear friend. It happens to be that loving relationship you have constructed in physical time and space goes beyond the physical passing. It enables your pets, your loved ones in fur, to be able to return to you. This isn't something that mimics or is brought about in the distraught state of your mind that is an illusion or an illumination of false pretense. It is something very real that because of the love between you, pet may return. Your loved fur being may come and return to you, bringing their essence, bringing their actual physical contact at times. Sometimes, because of the love between you, we on our side of life are able to help that pet manifest, make itself physically visible to you. Not it is something that you are conjuring up, as I say, in your mind, or something that you are even necessarily seeing psychically, or to do with your spirit ultra link. It is to do with the very essence of love energy between you. And that is the whole eventide strength of the possibility that love may bring from you to another being, regardless of what it is, how it appears to you in physical form.
And so what do you suggest for people that actually want to expand on this healing ability that they didn't know that they maybe had, and that they actually want to grow with that further and expand on it more?
Well, I suppose what I suggest is that if you learn as a human being to be more harmonic in your environment, then to begin with, you will find that animals and birds will fear you less, will more readily come to your presence. You may even observe that fish, rather than stating a motor function of thinking that you are going to offer them food, actually want you to stroke them or pat them. actually want you to connect with them. By being still and conscious in your mind and your connection with your spirit self, you may realize greater physical pictures, physical views, whole scenarios that play out within your harmonic that are far greater than anything you had previously thought possible. And this is just because you are raising your vibration and your awareness. Your harmonic grows because your auric field extends beyond its current limit. That is what raising your vibration creates in your ambient being. Therefore, other people and other animals, other species not previously identified by you, will become more aware of the harmony you create when you are around them.
Well, thank you very much, Gregory. That's been wonderful.
My dear friend, little bird, God bless as always in all things you do. Until the next time, then, dear friends, we leave you in love.
Goodbye. I'd like to thank you for those who may have been listening. We actually do have 4 books, and The Spirit Within in particular would be good for you if you're interested in learning more about, and Spirit Walks with Gregory actually, learning more about how to become in tune with your higher self, your Spirit Within. So that's The Spirit Within, Spirit Walks with Gregory. The Soul Group, It's Meaning, Magic and Imagery, and Journeys of the Inner Songbird. And if you'd like to know more about us and our work, please do go to spirit-teaching.com. And, well, I think we've run out of time, actually. So until next time, be peaceful, be positive and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.